The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on your Sunday. Man, I tell you what, this past week, who would have ever guessed right here in Oskaloosa, southeast Iowa area, that we would have had snow? It was amazing to me. Just the whiteness of get up the next morning, 3 inches on the ground. It actually stuck on the concrete a little bit. We had to move it. So it was a white, I think people were surprised that we would have a white Halloween. So it was quite an interesting part of the week. But it puts us full-fledged as we look towards the holidays and the things that are coming toward us and just the exciting time. But again, we just we're thankful for who God is and how he blesses us in the different seasons. We have, before we get started this morning, I want to touch base with you on just a few things that we have coming up. And our biggest one is Vital Gathering. That is November 10th. That's actually in 1 week from today. It's going to be a great opportunity to get together. We go do it at Debbie Celebration Barn. Again, that's November 10th at Debbie Celebration Barn, right here in Oskaloosa from 5 to 7. We will have our Vital Ministries, our band will be there. That's going to be exciting, some new faces, but also, too, at the same time, I believe we have some things set, and it's exciting. So I just encourage you to bring the whole family. This is a family event at Debbie Celebration Barn, 5 to 7, and we'll have food for you, so come hungry. We'll be able to feed the whole family. We just have some great food that will be there. We have a gentleman that helps us with that from up in the outdoors Tuna area. It brings down the food and it's really, really good. And of course, we'll have great worship time, a time of presence, of allowing the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts, to move within our very souls. And then we're going to be speaking, I'll be speaking on the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to want to miss this night. It's going to be a great opportunity again for the whole family, a family event from 5 to 7 o'clock, November 10th at Debbie Celebration Barn. You don't want to miss it. And also, too, I just want to give a shout-out, too, for the devotionals. We send those out 6 days a week, both for men and women, at the vitalministries.org webpage. You can get that nugget of the day, help you in the inspiration as these inspired writers write some incredible things that I believe help us to go and strive in the midst of our lives, and just some good things. So if you're wanting that daily inspiration, you can actually have it sent on and put on Vital on your demand, right on your phone, Vital Ministries on your phone every day, and you get those emails sent to you. So just a great opportunity. Also, too, like every ministry, we need funds to make it work. So I'm just, again, asking you if this is above and beyond your tithe that you do at your church. We want you to be faithful to your church. And if that's tight there, then again, it's all good. The Lord will supply. But if you do have some extra, we can send it to vitalministries.org and get it right on our website on the donate page. That would be an opportunity for you to give and help support this ministry. If it's vital for you, if it's something that gives you inspiration, I just encourage you to help with us. Maybe today you're traveling today and you've turned us on, you're driving down the highways or wherever it might be. We just want to thank you for listening. I hope today as we get started, we're going to be talking about what it means to burn the plow. So if you turned us in, I just hope that you stay with us on the radio this morning. Thanks for listening. Maybe some of you are traveling on your way to church. Again, we want to thank you for participating in your day as you're head for the church, and just a big shout out there. And then also, too, maybe you're sitting at home, and this is actually your church, your opportunity to listen to what the Holy Spirit and God's Word as it speaks to not only us here as we speak, but also to there at home. We want to thank you again for listening. But again, thank you for participating, be a part of vitalministries.org, and being with you on your Sunday. But last week, we're going to jump in this morning. Last week, we saw Elijah being restored by God in the cave. He's hiding out at Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, and He's gone to hear God say something to him. We can all relate to those moments, can't we, in our lives where we want to hear from the voice of God himself. There's a popular song that's out that was put out in 2018 by Justin Timberlake and Chris Stapleton. And the song was entitled Say Something. And I want you to read just a few of the lyrics for you this morning because I think it's got something for us a little bit. And then we're going to jump into the Word of God. But the verse one goes like this. Everyone knows all about my direction. And in my heart somewhere, I want to go there. Still, I don't go there. And then the chorus says this, say something that says something. Say something that says something. Say again, say something that says something. I don't want to get caught up again in the rhythm of it, but I can't help myself. No, I can't help myself. Great song, and Justin and Chris, they knock it out of the park. What I like about this song is, again, we can relate to that, of how we simply want God to say something to us. The Holy Spirit says something to the old prophet, and he sends him out on a mission to anoint three men, as we studied last week. In his anointing, he anoints Hazael to be king of Syria to bring out God's wrath on those who have kneeled to Baal. The second anointing he does is Jehu. He anoints him to be king and to kill King Ahab's dynasty, his sons, and even his wife Jezebel. And the third thing that God does for Elijah is anoints Elisha to finish what the other men start and what those that are left. But most of all, anointing Elisha will become Elijah's friend as he finishes out his ministry. See, Elijah is called to return to Israel, to travel 150 miles from Mount Sinai to Abel-Melech. And he must take an about face and also, too, to go face to face to meet Elijah, who would be his replacement. Elisha is a man of destiny. His name means God is my salvation. See, folks, names mean something. Parents, as you give your children names, I encourage you to take the opportunity, take time to pray over that name. Pray before that child ever comes and ask the Holy Spirit, what is the name of that young daughter or that young boy that's going to come into your life? It's a place of destiny. You know, I like to, in the fall, I enjoy watching the NFL, and it's year 100, if you haven't noticed, and during that time of the NFL this year. And usually on Thursday and Monday nights, they highlight a player from the past, a player who has done some incredible feats or done something that has impacted not only within the NFL, but also, too, impacted their communities. And in my mind, one of the greatest players that has ever played the game of football, and again, this is my opinion, as Walter Payton. He stands against and stands with the many. In 1999, Walter Payton was granted Man of the Year. He has averaged 4.9 yards per carry every time he touches the ball and gained over 21,264 yards in his career, both in running and in passing. And if math does me correct, it's my understanding is he scored 110 touchdowns. He lasted 13 years in the NFL. One of the quotes he makes that Walter says this, when you're good at something, you'll tell everyone. But when you're great at something, they'll tell you. He won his first Super Bowl in 1985, and after 13 years in the league, he retires. But only to the latter portion of his life, what I would say early in his 40s, he gets cancer, and eventually at 45, he dies in 1999. Many know the name of Walter Payton. He had a calling to play the game with character, both on and off the field. And again, names mean something, and everyone has a destiny. But let's read together. Let's get started this morning. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. And we're going to see what it means to have a calling on your life and how the calling comes on the prophet Elijah. And this is what the Bible says, starting with verse 19. So Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Jehoshaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulder, and then they walked away. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, "First, let me go back and kiss father and mother goodbye. Then I will go with you." Elijah replies this way. He says, "Go on back, but think about what I have done to you." So Elisha returned to his oxen, slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. See, God calls out Elisha, the farmer, not Elisha the prophet who is being schooled. No, Elisha is not schooled. We don't see this anywhere in the Bible. He's just a farmer. We meet him in his life where he's out plowing in the field. And we see in verse 19, Elisha is plowing behind a team of oxen. There are 24 oxen that are in that field today, and that's big. But not to compare it, I want you to think about you farmers out there today about this one of the biggest plows that was ever made. It's called the Martin Flash, a Titan 36. It's the biggest plow in the world that has 36 furrows of working width of 18 meters, powered by a 1,000 horsepower tractor. That's huge. I'm sure that many of my farmer friends listening to this know the size and the magnitude of this plow. It moves a lot of dirt and gets field work done quickly and also correctly. That's how it was with Elisha. This is the state of the art back in the day. 12 oxen out in the field, by this being written about him, tells us that he probably came from parents who were wealthy. They knew who he was. A few of my farmer friends, as I know, that are big farmers, and again, an umbrella of mercy, and I'm only going to name a few here, but they're big farmers, the Verstegs, the Van Utrex, the Brinks, people who know how to farm and how to get things done, men of the field, men of the soil. But people knew Elisha and his family when they had to be intense work ethic that brought up Elijah. Driving 24 oxen out in a field, that would take great strength and determination. It would take a lot of focus. Eyes straight ahead. There's no looking around. In this verse, Elijah comes along to find Elisha. He sees him plowing from a distance. He walks upon him, doesn't say a word, and puts his cloak over the shoulders of Elisha. A cloak is a large cape, folks. It was usually rough and hairy like camel's hair. It keeps you warm during cool days and keeps you warm in the night as you're walking and eventually as you go and sleep under the stars. And Elijah, as we know from Scripture, spent a lot of nights out in the open and out under the stars. By Elijah placing the cloak on Elisha's back symbolized him as Elijah's successor to take the office of prophet. He did this out of obedience to God's command. He knows that he had what he has on his life. Destiny and Elisha's trajectory was about to change. In my mind, it's kind of like this, and a lot of you can kind of work with me this morning and think back in time. It was like Billy Graham, the night he gets saved, and it comes under the under a tent meeting, a revival service under the evangelist Dr. Mordecai Ham. That night, late, Billy Graham heard the Holy Spirit speaking to him, speaking to his heart. He said during that time that Dr. Ham would actually, during his speaking, felt like he was literally pointing at him, that the Holy Spirit would work in his life. And that night changed everything for Billy Graham. His destiny and the trajectory would never be the same. And this is what we see in the prophet Elisha. Folks, I believe every Christian has a call on their life. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, your destiny and your trajectory in life changes. You're now called to live a better story, to be different, to be set apart, to be a holy as Christ is holy. But let's keep going this morning as we pick up our next point, point number two. Now, looking back. After he has the cloak on his back, he suddenly leaves the oxen standing. Folks, you never walk away from oxen or horses like that. They'll wander off. Then that could cost you a day's work. Farmers now know this most of all. They're plowing to get the crop in. One missed day could turn into a loss of several days. And that's with exactly what was going with the prophet Elisha. And the farmers out there listening to me this morning could get a glimpse about exactly what I'm saying. But notice something in verse 20. It says that Elisha ran after Elijah. Elijah doesn't stop for chit-chat. He's on a mission from God. He knows his days are numbered. Time is of the essence. I have a friend who's older, who's always on the go. He's a funny guy, and he shows up to our job site sometimes and checks in. And his favorite word in what he says is, hey, this man is in his 80s, but he runs around like he's 50 years old. He's got spunk and vigor. Conversations are short and to the point. No idle chatter in this man as he comes to visit me on different occasions. See, when Elisha catches up to Elijah, he makes a request. He says, hey man, let me go back and say goodbye to my folks. Let me say one thing that I love them. I'm leaving with the prophet Elijah. The dude that's from Mount Carmel, the marathon runner, the man who single-handedly kills 450 Baal prophets. Let me do this, Elijah. It's kind of like the story that we find that happens with Jesus. Jesus does the same thing in comparison in Luke chapter 9, 61 through 62. The cost of discipleship. He's talking to those men and women who are following him. And it says in the Bible, this is what it says in Luke chapter 9. It says, another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus says this, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back on his life is not fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus was talking to the man's heart, and so was Elijah. He was talking to Elisha's heart. Plowing takes focus to keep straight lines. See, a lot of times, folks, as you go and you watch farmers, and you go out and see as they plow and as they plant the crop, you will notice that most farm fields are in straight lines. It takes focus, and they do that with purpose. And it takes no looking back. You can't be looking over your shoulder as you're plowing and you're planting. You're looking straight ahead. You're making sure that you're in the right spot and headed the right direction. See, Elijah tells the young man to think through his next move. I don't think Elijah is getting a rebuke from Elijah. No, he's wanting Elisha to look at what's ahead and not live in the moment. See, most of us, of our culture today, are moment thinkers in my mind. We've fallen into it's all about me thinking. When I can't get out of it, I should be promoted in a matter of months as we take on jobs, as to instead that it might take some years and time for me to accomplish that split, that space in our lives, that portion of our of what we're called to do in our careers. When I became a general contractor, I had spent already 10 years under my dad's wing. Out of high school, I carried forms for concrete, shoveled a lot of sand out of the back of a truck, and I beat more 16 nails than I would like to think about. I was 29 years old when I went out on my own, and it wasn't given to me, folks. It was earned away. There was no looking back when I stepped in to be a general contractor. It was straight focus moving forward to the call at the moment of what God had for me in my life. So goes the rest of the story. See, Elijah had years on Elisha. He wanted the young prophet to think about his next move. Think through this, Elijah. Time is of the essence. Obedience, folks, is lived in the moment. This past week, the Holy Spirit allowed me to be used to speak to the gospel to a 66-year-old man at Julie's Cafe. It was the first time, our first meeting together, and he shared with me his story. Matter of fact, as I listened to the story in those years of his life up to 65, in my mind, it was a literal train wreck. But I asked him this question when he was finished. I said, what is it that you are looking for? What is it that you are wanting today? The man looks me straight in the eye and says, Mike, I'm looking for hope. I told him that the only hope that can be found would be found in Jesus. And I asked him that morning if he wanted to ask Jesus to be his Savior. He said yes, so I led him through the sinner's prayer, and Jesus became his Savior. See, God is so good, folks. He chases after everyone. Obedience for him and for me was literally in the moment over breakfast of taking time together. This brings us to our third point this morning, point number three, burn the plow. Elisha goes back to plow and he doesn't go back home. Matter of fact, he doesn't go back to plow, and he takes those 24 oxen and he slaughters them. Then he takes the wood plow and he cuts it up for firewood. It's barbecue time. He destroys all that he has, makes it so there's no going back to farming, that part of his life is now ended. There was another man that we read back in time in 1519. A man by the name of Hernan Cortes from Spain landed on the shores of Mexico. He landed with 600 men, but he had no fighting armor when they landed. The land had never in history been conquered. So Cortes has no resources and he has no armor. Cortes makes a bold move. He issues this order: burn the boats, burn the ships, conquer or die. His men had a choice to make. The tactic worked, and Cortes conquered the nation or the land of Mexico. Now I want you to go back with me with Elisha. By killing one cow, think about this for a moment, would weigh approximately about 1,650 pounds, and that could yield over 675 pounds of meat. That's about 308-ounce steaks. Nobody's asking that day, where's the beef? Elisha kills over 24 oxen that day, and Elisha chooses that day to step into his call. He never bowed to the idol Baal. Doesn't go home, and instead, he follows the great prophet Elijah. It says when the barbecue was over, Elijah begins catching the dust of Elisha. He's following him. He gives up his worldly living to be obedient to God, and he never looks back. So how does that apply to us today? How can we relate this in 2019 to what happened to Elisha over several thousand years ago? I have four things for us this morning that I believe that can apply to this very portion of Scripture. Number one, God calls us to belong to Jesus. It says in Romans 1:6, and you are included among the Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. How do you belong to Jesus Christ? By asking him to be your Savior. I can remember that back in my own life when I was 14 years old. There was a Spear Family Revival. I'll never forget this in Oskaloosa. It was at the Nazarene Church. And I'm going to date myself by even saying the Spear Family, because the majority of those folks now have long since passed. But it was a revival service, and I can remember they're singing the songs, and the great revival had come in Oskaloosa at the Nazarene Church, and I can remember they held the meetings at the old junior high in the auditorium, and that has now been torn down and now sits apartment buildings. But back in the day, that was a big deal. And I can remember sitting in that auditorium in that chair, and I can remember as the pastor was speaking, it was like he was speaking directly to me, that the Holy Spirit was calling me and wooing me. And I can remember when he gave the invitation, the place to go down and to receive Jesus as your Savior. I can remember jumping up at age 14, and I went down front. I cried out to the Lord and asked him to forgive me of my sins. And the Lord, Jesus, became my Savior. It changed my life. I yield to the call to belong to Jesus. And that's something maybe even for you today. Maybe you're listening and that might be the call that's on you, the beginning, to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. The second one is this, is that God calls us to be holy. It says in Romans 1:7, Paul writes this way, I am writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. See, folks, we are all one in Christ to live holy and to be set apart. We need to look different. We need to be different of how we look in our day. Do people see kindness in our hearts? Do people see a gratitude of an attitude of change of what Jesus has done? Are we loving towards other people? And in that, that's what makes us holy. That's what makes us different. Not to be above anyone, but to look different in our lives. And I think that's the biggest thing that I would say in Christianity today is, do people see us as being different, being set apart? If that isn't, folks, I'm going to challenge us in this morning that it might be the fact that the Holy Spirit isn't dwelling within us, that we somehow hindered the Spirit, and He's not using us to what God in our full capabilities. Again, God calls us to be holy. The third thing is God calls us out of darkness into the light. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of the darkness and into His wonderful light." Where are you at? Are you living in darkness? Are you still, is it in your Christian faith, choosing to go to places of darkness and to be in people of light? That's a challenge to us. Again, it goes back to the second thing I said, to being holy. We are called to be people of light. And being people of light, that's at the places of where you work, places of where you do community, places of where you go at home. Do your family, do your friends, do they see you as a person of light? I would ask the Holy Spirit to ask Him even today to be a person of light. The fourth thing is God has called you into hope. Ephesians 4:4 puts it this way, "For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to this glorious hope for the future." We should be people of hope, which reflects the Spirit of truth. That's how it was with this older gentleman that I was with this past week. He was looking for hope. He was looking for change. Things that he was doing in his life weren't working, and he needed to find a different way, a better story to live. He was looking for hope. And by doing so is when we get those moments of obedience like Elisha. He had an opportunity. He had a choice to make. Would he step into the call? Just like we do as Christians, every day we have a call to participate in the good news of the gospel and to be Jesus out to a world that needs to find hope. Let me pray with you today. Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for the opportunity today to be with you. That we have this opportunity to be people of hope, to be people as Elisha. He was called to burn the plow. Lord, I think that maybe there's some even this morning that are listening to me, that the Holy Spirit has spoken to them. They need to burn their plow. Maybe some are even called into ministry. Maybe today there's a calling on your life and you've never yielded. I encourage you today, as you listen to these words, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move them to open and to step into that call. Maybe your call today is to simply be faithful, to ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life. Holy Spirit, help those come to know you in a deeper way, to ask Jesus into their hearts, to forgive them of their sin, and to change the story of their life. We thank you, Jesus, in your precious holy name. Amen. Again, folks, burning the plow. It will take sacrifice, but it will take obedience, and it will change the trajectory of your life. I encourage you to be willing to burn the plow. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.